Sick Days by Casey Butcher Santana. My child has been sick before, but this fever makes her acutely miserable. On Sunday, my husband brought Veronica home from the playground with a premonition. When we are all sick midweek, let's blame the kid who coughed in her face. Tuesday morning, before sunrise, she climbs into our bed. Her hot little feet on my bare legs confirm her illness. At bedtime Monday night, she made a slight, crinkly wheeze with each breath, a warning. We snuggle, sleeping a few more minutes before taking her temperature, 101.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Veronica pretends the thermometer is a telephone, calling Lady Aberlin while I pour coffee and prepare for a day of Mr. Rogers and wiping a runny nose. That night, the fever flares while we wrestle an exhausted toddler into pajamas. Rocking her to sleep, I listen to a virtual Moms Demand Action meeting through one earbud while a speaker plays Veronica's bedtime music, Baby Road, Beatles songs arranged as instrumental lullabies. I had a cassette of this album when I was a child. In the 1990s, there was an assault weapons ban, and my mother didn't have to hear psychologists explain how ineffective and traumatic active shooter drills are for children. As my little girl drifts off, from across Denver in their parents' study, two sisters tell the moms group about the horrors they survived at their high school and how their friends are lobbying for reform. Wednesday, Veronica feels worse. She asks for medicine and clings to me, resting her droopy, bloodshot eyes. Her cheek burns against my shoulder while I read a new book about climate change, Not Too Late. In one essay, which I've read before, Yutam Meram describes the heartache of seeing his daughter fall in love with parts of the earth that may disappear in her lifetime. I remember that passage often as I play in the garden with my daughter, watching her explore the flowers and bugs. Right now, her feverish body feels like too apt a metaphor for a warming world, but here I am, trying to bring her temperature down, swallowing like medicine this book and the spoonful of sugar it offers. Veronica has started to call me mother. It sounds too mature in her two-year-old voice, and I nudge her back to Mama. All Thursday, she asks, Mother, help me, never specifying what she needs. We're both listless and cranky from inactivity. I try to hide frustration while I reorder fragrance-free bubble bath and research which tea bags leach microplastics, another dam built in a constant struggle to shield her from pollution, hoping not to pass down my autoimmune disorder. Mother, 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 little hands twist in my hair. While Veronica naps, I write postcards for the Environmental Voter Project and watch teenagers, grieving families, and three elected representatives protesting at the Tennessee Capitol after yet another school shooting. I remember a statistic I read. 1 in 25 American 5-year-olds will not live to see their 40th birthday. The guns, giant cars, drugs, despair. So many ways adults have failed them. At bedtime, I watch Veronica's flushed, drowsy face in her nightlight's amber glow. In the rocking chair, I sometimes feel trapped by the weight of her growing body, drained by the wiggles, the unintentional smacks to my glasses, or a foot intentionally resting on my face. When Baby Road ends, I tuck her in, and she asks for a hug, a kiss, and a squeeze. After this ritual, I bundle up, chilled. As much as I want my own space, my body feels an absence, the loss of contact with my child. This phase will not last much longer. I remind myself that I will rock her every night as long as she wants me to. By Friday, Veronica is eager to run outside again. Like most days lately, over her clothes, she wears a denim jumper with an embroidered rainbow and hearts across the front. She carefully points to and names each color while I slip Wonder Woman boots on her feet. She claps, "We did it!" This is what she knows of life. I let worry burn off in the heat of the sun, trying to focus on her now, sliding down a pile of dirt, unaware of my fears, finally free of the fever.